Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Kate Lynch. Each week at this time, we visit with an author from our region. We get an introduction to their work, perhaps a glimpse into their lives. We ask them what prompts them to write, and we have an opportunity to hear them read from their work. And today, we're very pleased to welcome Kate Lynch. Kate Lynch is the nutrition, fitness, and momentum coach at Custom Fit Vitality in Warkworth, Ontario. Delivering inspiration since 2004, Kate coaches men and women of all ages, from tweens to those 75 plus, on how to tap into the best of who they are so that they can thrive lifelong. She lives on her horse farm with her husband and daughter. So Kate, tell us a little bit more about yourself. What did you do before you set up Custom Fit Vitality?
Well, first, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here. I actually am a lifelong equestrian. I started riding when I was about 4 years old, and I got into nutrition and fitness because of my addiction to horses, and I found that I was looking for something to deepen the value for my equestrian clients, and nutrition and fitness was the ticket. And then the fitness business broke wide open for me. So initially I did it for my equestrian clients to help them in the saddle, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then I really took to the industry of wellness, and that's where my passion is.
So is wellness for equestrians any different from wellness for the rest of us?
That's a great question. I think that one of the things that happens with horses is that people have an attraction or an affinity for them, and they think because of that love for the animal that they should just be able to get in the saddle and ride off into the sunset, but it actually is a sport just like any other. So the type of work I did with my equestrian clients was cross-training for the sport, if you will.
Just like any athlete, really.
Exactly. Just like my golfers or my lacrosse players now. Same thing. So cross-training, mm-hmm. if you will.
And so amongst your clientele, they're not all athletes, though, right? They'd be regular people.
Absolutely. It really is true. We do run the gamut from tweens to 75-plus. I have people who are professional athletes, and then I have people who are bona fide couch potatoes. So they wouldn't do anything if they didn't come to see us, which we love to have a little bit everything at Custom Fit.
Oh, cool. Now, what inspired you to set up your own company as opposed to just getting
Well, I have a true entrepreneurial spirit that I get from my dad, and I was looking to branch out in my equestrian business. We live in a rural area. And I was a relatively new mom, and I was looking to create a community, if you will, of other like-minded people who were interested in fitness and nutrition and horses at the time. Mm-hmm. It blossomed into something else, so I was looking to develop community.
Oh, yeah. Cool. You hold this actually on your horse farm?
We do.
Yeah. And is there like a big gym there, or is it you go for informational programs and then go away, or how does that work? How do your programs work?
We have renovated our century-old barn, which is about 3,600 square feet in the top, into a gym, and we're out there year-round. It's not mm-hmm. heated. So if you think of a combination of like Rocky IV, right, where he's in Russia in the barn, so it's like being outside, but we're protected from the elements. And then we also have an indoor studio. We renovated our oversized garage, and that's where we do our Pilates and yoga. But all of our cross-training classes, so TRX and boot camp style classes, we don't mm-hmm. actually call it boot camp anymore, they're all on the top of the barn. It's really pretty neat.
And so are there machines and things too, or is it all just body work?
We have TRXs, and we have some free weights, but we mostly are all body weight style exercises. Yeah.
Oh, yep. Sounds interesting. So what do you regard as the most important principles behind your coaching?
I am always looking to engage people's curiosity. And I think that the first step in doing that is making them care about their wellness from the ground up. So we're not really interested in what kind of clothing people show up in, whether it's designer or it's their old sweatpants. And we really don't give a lot of thought to whether or not someone was an athlete in high school or a wallflower. We like to meet people where they're at right now. So curiosity is huge. Safety, of course, is important. And again, that holistic approach to wellness. So not only the fitness, but of course the nutrition as well.
All right. Now, you have written a book about all of this.
I have.
So what inspired you to write that book, the book, and what is it called?
My book is called Nourish, and the subtitle is What Are You Hungry For? Mm. And Nourish is the culmination of my work with men and women over the last dozen years, coaching them beyond fitness, if you will, and really looking at health holistically. So what are they putting into their body and thinking about what they're getting out of that? So when I decided to write Nourish, I wanted to take this body of work and be able to share it with a larger audience. I've taught nutrition in small groups and large groups and online now for years. And really, it was a lot of fun for me to sit down and distill all of this down and then flesh it out into Nourish so that I can reach a greater audience.
And for our listeners, just because there's a book and it's about nutrition, we're not talking a Jenny Craig thing here, right? We're not selling food and packaged stuff. And
I'm glad you mentioned that. So Nourish is not a diet. What I'm really asking people to do is, instead of calories in and calories out and exercise more and eat less, I'm asking people to think about how they feel in terms of what I call their wellness. How's your sleep? How's your mood? And how is your energy level? And then I teach in the book and in my courses, I teach people basic nutrition. So we're talking about the macronutrients, protein, fats, and carbohydrates. And then I ask them to think about what are they really hungry for? So what are they getting for what they're eating?
Right.
For example, do you notice at night when you have dessert late and too much wine that you then have interrupted sleep? Do you notice that when you eat too much sugar, you're moody and cranky? Do you notice that you have a monkey mind that's uncontrollable because you're consuming too much caffeine? Those kinds of things. I'm asking people to reflect and think about how they feel and to forget about the scale.
So live better, really.
Live better and real food, nutrient-rich food that serves them instead of dieting.
Well, perhaps you could read us an excerpt from your book with that word.
I'd love to. So I'm going to read from the introduction. And the introduction of my book starts with a quote. And the quote is, "Only the curious have something to find." Unknown. So chapter one, my story. As I write this, I'm 43. When I was in my teens, I wanted to fit into my custom equestrian riding boots. To do this, I tried a Diet Coke diet for 3 days, consuming nothing but cola and popcorn. I stopped the Diet Coke diet on day 3 when I was so weak and lightheaded that I almost fell off my horse. In my 20s, I continued my endeavors to be thin. I subsisted on a diet of these staples: coffee, beer, wine, peas with rice, pasta, salad with non-fat dressing. In my 30s, and in particular pre-pregnancy, I ate more healthfully by North American standards. Low-fat, whole grains, lots of fruit and vegetables, low-calorie, little red meat, no butter, no added salt. However, as I aged, especially after the birth of my daughter, Lila, in 2003, and after turning 35 in 2006, I did not see positive changes in my body composition, lean muscle mass to fat ratio, or my digestion. I could not sleep, and I was depressed. I was fit from exercising, but my body fat was too high for how hard I exercised. My digestion was terrible. I was an insomniac, and I was discouraged. In 2000, I was diagnosed with Lyme disease, ehrlichiosis, and babesiosis. As part of my healing protocol, I took a heavy-duty cocktail of antibiotics for 6 months. As a result, my Lyme disease was held at bay. In 2004, I changed careers. I left the equine industry and began building my fitness business, Custom Fit Vitality. I worked part-time in the evenings as my days were spent with my daughter. In 2008, my fitness business broke wide open for me. I was working full-time, 60-plus hours a week. And it showed in my body composition. I was storing extra fat because I was so stressed, and I was over-exercising to deal with the stress and the extra fat. The only answer I could come up with, based on my research and knowledge at the time, was to eat less and work out more. I did a lot of faking it out in the world, especially in my fitness business. This was an exhausting front to maintain. Behind the scenes, I did not sleep because I was wired and tired from over-exercising and unintentionally starving myself. I lived on caffeine during the day to keep me up and red wine at night in order to bring myself down. Both the caffeine and the wine added to my insomnia, which also fed my overly active, anxious monkey mind. I was sick a lot. My menstrual cycle was intense with PMS and cramps. My body composition was not where I wanted it, and I felt fat. My brain was on monkey mind overdrive. This was after years of diligent, healthy living, including eating whole grains, fruits, vegetables, lean protein, non-fat dairy, and giving up wheat. I ran 5 to 8 kilometers 3 to 5 days a week. I strength trained up to 6 days per week with heavy weights, and I allowed for recovery with days off every week. I also added in a steady yoga practice for stress relief. I meditated every morning for 20 minutes or more, and I journaled for my busy monkey mind. And I went to psychotherapy sessions. Surrounded by people looking to improve themselves with nutrition and fitness taught me that it doesn't matter how great we look, or how much money we make, or how full we stock our fix-me cupboards. When we are rotting from the inside out, when we have to fake it, we're never content. We're worn out, starving, sexless, sleepless, and sometimes surly. We learn, or we don't, that harder in our work, our workouts, and our world requires more, longer, earlier, and later, which includes forsaking our relationships, our children, and ultimately ourselves. No matter how hard we lean in, we don't fly. We're wind-burned and grounded in the most prohibitive way. Then, exhausted from faking it, we go fetal behind the scenes. We learn, or we don't, that roaring around full of purpose and passion is as poor as aimlessly floating through life without a plan. Curious by nature and determined to lead by example for my family and my clients, I remained hopeful that the answer to feeling better was out there somewhere.
Well, very interesting. That must have been an awful thing to go through, the Lyme disease and all the rest of it, too.
It's a brutal, highly misunderstood disease.
Yeah. Well, we will find out more when we come back from this short break.